Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
Thank you for joining me for Digital Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Kyler Cheatham. Today, I have with me Braden Gerbig, who's one of our directors of digital transformation here at Third Stage. Today, we're going to dive into how to control your ERP project costs. But before that, we want to introduce Third Stage, which is a completely independent and agnostic consulting agency for our clients going through any stage or journey within their digital transformation. So today we might be unpacking project costs, but please subscribe to our channel to hear a bunch of different podcast content and episodes throughout our ERP expertise. So I wanted to start today, Braden, and just kind of talk about first your role at Third Stage, and then we can kind of dig into how that makes sense from advising on a financial project cost.
Sure. Yeah. Braden Gerbig. I'm a director with Third Stage. I manage a number of teams on our client projects, but also I think what you're asking is more about how do we scope and determine our project budgets and plan for digital transformation projects. My role is to meet with the client in several meetings and then flush out the details around level of effort and what it's going to take to develop a team that's going to move forward with a digital transformation project.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that introduction. Obviously, cost is a huge factor when considering an ERP project or any digital transformation in general. So I wonder if you might explain to our audience what are some main considerations that you advise clients when they are thinking about committing to this significant investment?
Yeah, I think some of the things to consider up front are the maturity of process, documentation, the individual roles involved in these kinds of projects, how defined their processes are, and also just a general understanding of the overall systems landscape, in terms of not only the ERP, but also other systems, bolt-ons and systems outside of ERPs. So that can be in the form of spreadsheets or manual processes, or even access databases or other applications that are factored into the ecosystem of the ERP.
So just considering it from kind of a top level view, right, based on what you said, is kind of a main best practice.
Yes, absolutely. So when we look at the existing or incumbent systems, we want to understand at the top level the impact to processes and the primary functions and the key areas of consideration.
Right. And do you ever find with clients that you work with that they may not need a full ERP system? They might need another kind of digital transformation or piece of software in a different area that might not be a main ERP suite?
Yeah, absolutely. We look at a number of fit for purpose or best of breed applications. So those applications can be designed to manage things like warehouse management, for example, or planning or MRP or any of those other areas that are targeted focused and have a specific function or purpose. There are a number of systems that can enhance existing ERPs or systems that can act as a core process or a core system for the company in place of ERP.
Right, exactly. And I assume that when you look at a full ERP suite versus maybe an additional application or some process or maybe a best of breed system, that can really affect cost. And can you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we start these projects, one of the first things we consider is whether this is an ERP strategy or a best of breed or a fit for purpose strategy. And one of the reasons we do that is the two strategies have some long-term impacts and differing approaches. If we look at fit for purpose or best of breed, those costs can be significantly reduced from overall ERP costs. ERPs are typically larger budget, longer implementations, but they're also designed to support more of the organization. So we really want to understand from an executive and leadership level what the goals and objectives of the organization are, and then align that technology strategy with those goals and objectives. And part of that effort is to really understand if an ERP is needed or if it can be more of a specific approach in terms of targeted application.
Right, that future state type of the development and letting the strategy lead the technology instead of the technology leading the strategy, sounds like you're saying.
Correct, yep.
Absolutely. Cool, well, diving a little deeper into software selection, I know that can be a big pain point for some of our clients in knowing where to select the right software, who to go through that process. So what are some key tips you can give our audience from a financial perspective in software selection specifically?
Just in terms of software selection, we want to make sure we have the right fit from a vendor perspective, the right market sizing, the right approach. We do consider vendors from kind of a tiered perspective in terms of names that everyone's familiar with at the top tier to more of a mid-market approach, and then also a specialty fit approach. So one of the things we want to consider is the overall budget that is in consideration for implementation, and we look at selecting vendors that are appropriate for those budgets. It's not uncommon for companies to approach us and ask the question, is a top tier vendor the right fit for us? And really it takes some quick assessment to understand just the landscape in terms of the long list of vendors that we want to consider. That long list is typically determined not only by company revenue size, but also the type of industry that the company is in, and number of employees and other complexities around process. So knowing that those general parameters helps us right size the selection from a vendor landscape perspective and helps us narrow the budget.
Excellent. That makes so much sense. And what might be some hidden costs in the software selection as far as licensing or those types of things that our clients, especially early in the transformation process, that might not be aware of?
Sure. Yeah. Hidden costs typically come in the form of how the vendor is engaged. It can also be in the overall strategy and approach to systems in general. By that, I mean whether the system will be on-prem or if it's a cloud-hosted solution, for example. We have to take into consideration things like ongoing subscription costs. There's other costs like data management costs, hardware, software, all these licensing considerations that go into account in terms of your strategy. There's a lot of companies moving more to cloud strategy at the moment. Those strategies come with costs in terms of long-term subscriptions and other elements that can be prohibitive in trying to change that strategy a year, two, 3 years from now.
Excellent. A lot to consider there. And I know your job, one of your jobs and your team's jobs here at Third Stage is to help our clients really line item out each one of those costs and really understand them in their budget. So that makes a lot of sense. My last question of this segment before we take a quick break is, I know I've heard from yourself and a lot of other third stage stakeholders that many of our clients and partners can kind of be dazzled by the bells and whistles of shiny new software systems or kind of smooth talking vendors within the sales process. So I wondered if you could kind of give us some best practices to dissect that and make sure you're not kind of enchanted by the process and make sure you're choosing the best system that fits your needs as an organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So we try to stay very close to the requirements that we define early up front. By that, I mean, it's not necessarily a tell me that you can meet this requirement. It's a show me how you meet this requirement. And understanding the show me aspect of seeing that requirement performed in various solutions and really getting to an apples to apples comparison is important. The vendors are used to or very good at showing how their solution will meet a requirement in their specific platform, but it's not always a direct comparison across vendors. So we try and stay very close to the requirements. And so part of that is really having a good understanding of process, but then also being able to clearly define and articulate what you're trying to gain out of a system, and then being able to go back and verify that you're able to achieve that in a targeted platform. That's the hardest part. Most times, if there's any discrepancy or a requirement's not met, it's because it wasn't clearly defined up front.
Right. So it sounds like, based on what you're saying, that requirements and readiness assessment and needs assessment are really key to making sure that you stay grounded throughout that process. And most importantly, that your budget stays in line, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good, good. Well, good stuff. Well, great tips here. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Britton and I are going to reveal some more tips and tricks on how to control those ERP project costs at a more kind of intangible level. So we'll be right back.
If you are involved in any sort of digital transformation or business change initiative, you will want to download the 2021 Digital Transformation Report. With its comprehensive overview of business and technology trends and best practices, this report is a must-have guide for any transformation project or executive team. Download this free report by visiting Third Stage Consulting at thirdstage-consulting.com. You can also visit our website to learn more about us or download independent reports, videos, and other best practices. Again, visit thirdstage-consulting.com today to learn how to take your transformation to the third stage of success.
All right, let's jump back in, Braden. Before the break, we kind of scratched the surface on what to look at or consider for your ERP project costs. I'd like to dig a little deeper regarding the less tangible or quantifiable aspects of a digital transformation. So in budgeting for an ERP implementation, a digital transformation of any kind, what are some other costs that a lot of clients really don't think about that may, in your experience, lead companies to project failure?
Yeah, I think some of the other costs or the intangible costs can be, the company's culture, for example. We encounter varying degrees of resistance to change, for example. So I've always done it this way, or I wasn't trained to do it this way, that kind of thing. But then also there are some, I would call them process aspects of a lot of companies that are not well-defined or have just been kind of handed down as people are brought into the organization. So, if you go to inquire about why is a process performed this way, for example, it's because that's how the person before me did it, and that's how I learned to do it. We have a lot of clients with tenure of 30 years or more in some cases. So those kinds of clients have established processes that are very difficult to change. So change can be a big intangible cost that is not immediately quantifiable at the outset. There's also data management. There are a number of considerations around data management, making sure that there's a single source of record in a lot of cases, being able to track data through the system, being able to establish data ownership. Those kinds of things are all labor intensive, but also can be costly in terms of error in the data or just manual workarounds in shadow IT. We encounter that quite a bit.
Right, right. Digging into that kind of tribal knowledge, I know we talked a lot about that on our ground control podcast this last week. So definitely go check that out over on our channel as well. But when it comes to those kind of people and processes side of the business, and mostly what can come from additional costs or loss of revenue through operational disruption within a digital transformation, how can we be sure that our culture, as you mentioned, and our resources via our people are ready for a digital transformation?
Well, a lot of the readiness is around messaging, making sure that there's alignment in the messaging, tone at the top, establishing that communication that says, this is a project that we're taking on and these are the expectations around that project. Getting that communication out early is always helpful, but then reinforcing that in terms of project kickoffs and getting people aligned in the same room in a lot of cases to really air some grievances, but then also talk about potential solutions going forward. It's helpful to get everyone's voice in that mix so that we can understand what the challenges are going to be and then align the overall project with those challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know from just being on the Third Stage team, our methodology involves a lot of these cross-functional workshops. And I assume that's where you kind of reconcile any sort of, or better understand and discover any sort of system integration that needs to happen from each counterpart's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So the cross-functional aspects of all of these projects is always a challenge. Understanding where the handoffs are, not only in a physical process, for example, but then a handoff from a data perspective and a data ownership perspective is important. Needing to flesh out those details around data flow and the workflows in terms of approval process, how data is reworked if something goes back through a change within a system. All of those things requires those cross-functional discussion, cross-functional views so that we can get to a standard that can be mapped within a system.
So it sounds like, based on what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, but data cleansing and just overall management can be a key tactic to making sure that not only your project is successful, but on budget.
Absolutely. Yeah. Data management can be a daunting task, especially in companies that maintain large volumes of data that can come in the form of clients, customers, can come in the form of suppliers, it can come in the form of product. All of these things can multiply in terms of where they are on the value chain and create additional complexity that needs to be simplified in a lot of cases. It's typical to find duplication, to find older records, things that are not archived, things that need to be cleaned up. And going forward, if that effort is not taken now, it will be at some point in the future. It's best taken now so that the system can start with a clean slate.
Gotcha. That's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Definitely an important step that I think a lot of people overlook or kind of misunderstand or misinterpret the resources that goes into that. Switching gears a little bit, I know we've had a lot of questions from our audience and our clients about outside partners when it comes to cost. So it seems like from an outside looking in, there's a lot of different people and vendors involved in a digital transformation. So I thought I might ask you if you could kind of unpack those different stakeholders within a transformation from a third party's perspective.
Yeah, third party can mean not only in some cases, you know, the vendor and the SI, obviously, but then also, you know, suppliers or customers and the requirements that come around those partners as well. If you look at suppliers, for example, you know, in today's world, there's a lot of requirements around working with supplier systems. Same in the case with customers. If you think about shipping, for example, tracking the data once it leaves the warehouse, for example, is important now. So we want to understand what the requirements are for those types of external partners, but then also more immediately as we look at system implementation, we want to understand not only the, as I mentioned, the SI concerns, but then also other partners such as folks that manage the, you know, the data aspects, the hardware aspects, all of the ongoing costs that are going to be considered in the total cost of ownership. Those third parties are all part of the mix, and it all plays into the cultural fit for system selection in terms of how you're going to work within that ecosystem.
Right. And where does third stage fall in that third party balance? And what would be that benefit there of hiring maybe an independent agnostic vendor, even if it's not someone like third stage?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, we'll find that within any ecosystem or any ERP selection, we will find that there are elements of the system that you know, need further analysis or need further assessment. Because we are agnostic, we can look at those components and understand you know, what's being offered in the market, what the best fit is, without any bias towards a vendor in terms of what should be recommended for the client. So we're really the client advocate, and that extends all the way through implementation in terms of furthering to the development of the implementation or furthering the maturity of the applications that are selected. We can help guide the overall strategy in terms of the best mix of applications across the board.
Excellent. And so just to be clear, when we say agnostic for our audience, do you get any money for vendors that you choose their software? Is there any financial partnership there?
No, there's really not. I mean, we don't have any consideration for the vendor's costs other than what that means to the client. By that, I mean, when we consider the negotiation aspects of our selection, a lot of times we're able to avoid costs because of our independence and because of the fact that we're agnostic. We're able to point out where we know from prior implementations where you know, pricing can be adjusted or what might make more sense for the client. So our savings are really because we are agnostic, we can provide the best negotiation in terms of savings to our client during implementation.
Gotcha. Thank you for explaining that to us. When it comes to business leaders or leadership, we talk a lot about on this podcast, an executive sponsor or whatever that looks like, what is one main thing that they should consider when keeping their ERP budget on track?
Yeah, I think in terms of keeping ERP budget on track, probably from my perspective, probably the biggest thing is, you know, appropriate design, appropriate scope of what you're trying to accomplish in the implementation. By that, I mean, taking the time now to not only understand what parts of an ERP are most important, but then also what you're trying to accomplish within the next year or 2 years in terms of that system implementation, and really defining that well Because as I mentioned, if requirements for the system are missed, overlooked, or deprioritized, they're more costly down the road. Now is your opportunity to fit your objectives within the system to the goals of what you're trying to achieve as a company.
Yeah, definitely. Again, to that future state and strategy, like you mentioned before. And lastly, if you were going to give one piece of advice for organizations that are really mindful of project costs, what would it be?
I think don't underestimate the cost of change in terms of designing and bringing your organization along for the journey. It's important to consider change up front, and that will allow you to continually message and understand the impact further down the value chain in terms of implementation. It's a lot harder to come back to change in terms of trying to rework the organization after a system's been implemented. So getting that in up front is extremely important and does save costs long term.
Excellent. Great piece of advice. Last week, we actually did a blog on change management and its effects on your overall ROI. So for any listeners that are interested in that, please head over to our website to look for more information. But thank you so much, Braden, for joining me today. I so appreciate your time and going through these project costs, such an important conversational piece when it comes to looking at a digital transformation. Please subscribe to our channel. We do new podcasts every Wednesday and also post on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday as well for all of our listeners. We also have Ground Control that goes out weekly as well. That's our longer form, more interview-based podcast. If you have any questions, Braden's contact information will be in the description. So please feel free to reach out to him directly. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Keller.
Thank you.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.